We have a daf to do. All right, good morning, everyone. Gemara Chasima Tova now, I guess we could say. We're going to start starting Aseres Yemei Tshuva. We started Aseres Yemei Tshuva yesterday, Shabbat Tshuva. So, we're in the back end of Tzadi Zayin, Amud Beis, and today's daf is daf Tzadi Ches. So we're in pretty good shape in terms of getting us back to speed. Together with Slichos and with longer davening, so the Daf Yomi is going to definitely suffer in terms of quantity, and as far as quality is concerned, so same as it always is. It's going to be just as good, just as bad, either way. Okay, we are on Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, that would be 97B, and we're in the middle of Gittin Asher, and we're not only in the middle of Gittin Asher, we're in the middle of Tarovis. We started just a couple of days ago the whole discussion of Tarovis, and the reason why it comes up in the seventh parak of Chulin, of all the places in Shas to come up in, is because we have the Gittin Asher. The Gittin Asher is in the thigh. And what I do is I cook the thigh with the Gittin Asher in the thigh, and what's going to now happen is that I basically have a Tarovis. I have a mixture. Where the thigh itself, of course, is mutter, so we're assuming that's the shechted animal, and it's being cooked with the Gittin Asher, and the Gittin Asher obviously is asur. And so now you have all that wonderful taste of the Gittin Asher being infused into the thigh, and hence you have a discussion of Tarovis, and that gets us on the whole discussion of Tarovis, which is four blot over here in the seventh parak of Chulin, and it makes for a wonderful discussion. I told you yesterday when we started this discussion, there's a really big question in terms of Gidin, whether or not the Gid gives off any taste whatsoever. There's an opinion, which actually we accept lahalacha, that the Gid Anusha does not give off taste, to Ein Begidin no simtan, there's no taste in a gid. Okay, but that doesn't matter. Meaning, so practically speaking, in this case, it's not going to make a difference, but all the concepts and all the basic principles that we learn over here are going to be true throughout any other area of Tarovis. Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, we're going to start now. I'll start again from where we left off yesterday, which is Amar Rabbi Chanina. Amar Rabbi Chanina is a little bit less than halfway down the page. And the discussion today starts here. Kishahin Misha'arin Birotzev Vikipa Vachatichos Vikadera. Okay, you want to be Mishar, meaning, like we discussed yesterday, I have any type of mixture whatsoever, so I want to now I have to account for two things. I have to account for, number one, the Yavish B'Yavish, meaning the dry mixtures, and I have to account for the Lach Balach. Lach Balach means, and always means, that there's taste from one item going into the other item. And if I know that I have so much of the other item of the heter where it negates the taste of the iser, so then I can basically say now we're good to go because I no longer taste the iser. Obviously, I don't want to eat the iser itself. That's a yavish b'yavish issue. But aside from that, I want to counteract the taste, the tam of the iser. That's a lach balach issue. And so for that, we need to negate it. Now, we learned yesterday that the magic number shishim. Shishim is where the Chachamim evaluated and said, at that point in time, where the ratio of 1 to 60, we know with absolute certainty that there's no longer going to be any taste anymore. Less than 1 to 60, we have to still assume that there's going to be taste going into the heter, but at 1 to 60, that's it. We know now with pretty good certainty that there's no longer any time, any taste. Huh? Unless it's extraordinarily sharp, which the Gemara will discuss momentarily. Then there's a concern. Good. Now the Gemara over here is discussing the following. Look, I throw in a little bit of iser into the pot, chalev, dam, whatever it is. I throw a little bit of iser into the pot. So and now I have to look: is there 60 times to negate? 60 times what? Meaning, what exactly in the pot do I look at in terms of interaction with the iser that went in? So, the Gemara quotes in the name Rabbi Chanina, everything in the pot, right? In other words, again, we're talking about a liquid and we're talking about a soup. So, everything in the soup. So, if I'm making a soup and I throw a little bit of pork into the soup, so I can look now at every ingredient in the soup, the liquid, the vegetables, the kosher meat, everything in the soup itself in order to counteract that little bit of pork that came in. So far, so good. If you look carefully at the last words of Rabbi Chanina, kishahein misharin misharin berotev, the liquid, kipa, like the little bits of meat, right? Uvechatichos, uvekeder, chatichos are the cuts of meat, and the kedera and the pot itself. Yeah, what does that mean? So the Gemara now is going to focus on that last one, meaning that kipshuta, what Rabbi Chanina is saying, is that I'll look at the pot itself, and the pot itself will also be allowed to be counted as one of the things that counteract the issur that came in. Now, igad amri b'kedera atzma v'igad amri b'may debala kedera. Now, the Gemara over here has two ways to say it. One way the Gemara says it over is you can actually look at the pot itself. Okay, the pot is a porous material. Okay, and that means then that the pot itself can be used to counteract that the issur that came in. That's a tremendous kula, because that would now mean that all the soup and all the vegetables and all the meat that's in the soup and the pot itself all could be used in conjunction to counteract the little pork that came in.
How do you measure the volume? The weight of the pot?
The volume. The volume of the pot. Yeah, that's... No, in addition to what's inside.
I'm saying, if you take a pot and do it, but what's the volume of the pot? It'll be a lot. If it were filled up?
No, meaning right now, when we're saying this first approach of the Gemara, which happens not to be the halacha, but this first approach of the Gemara is basically saying, I take the volume of the walls of the pot, meaning, take the pot, put it in water, see how much water it displaces.
Oh, so it's a weight, basically.
It's to be more accurate, it's volume, but... That's not the point. The point of Rabbi Chanina is that you could use the volume of the pot in order to counteract, plus everything inside the pot in order to counteract the issa that came in. And if you put all that together and it comes out to 60 times more than the issa that came in, so you're good.
I mean, you assume that the walls have the lay of the town also.
Yeah, so...
That has to be the reason.
You could also say that the pot itself is...
The soup is because of the lay of the town. The meat because of the lay of the town. So it has to mean the walls
are being bolei of the tam. They're absorbing the tam. Right. In other words, and that iser is just being dispersed to everything in the pot and the pot itself, including the pot itself. That's the first way. Way to explain it. That obviously results in a tremendous leniency. That's a tremendous kula. Igadim of the Gemara has another way, and that's by my demala kader, and that is no. You can't. You cannot go against the pot itself. The pot itself is not food. The pot itself is not counteracting the iser. But if there's absorbed food in the pot, remember the pots that they used back then, I mean, nowadays pots also are porous, not to the same degree as back in the good old days. But the pots back then, you can't use the pot itself to counteract the iser. But if there's already something that's absorbed in the pot, how do I know? So Rashi says it's very simple. I cooked in the pot previously. And I know, in other words, it was a simple reduction. Meaning I cooked, let's say, 5 ounces in the pot previously. And then after I finished cooking, I walked away with 4 ounces. Now, it is true that some of that was because it just, turned into gas and it went into the air. But the assumption is that the pot absorbed some of the previous food that was cooked inside. That absorbed taste that's in the pot, assuming we know how much that is, you can only use that to counteract the issur that went inside. But not the pot itself. No, it would not seem to matter. In other words, we're just going to assume that whatever absorbed taste went into the pot. Rashi points out, I'm not going to go through the entire Rashi right now. Rashi points out that Lamaisa, practically speaking, it helps, but doesn't help a whole lot. Because you also have to remember, the Isser also absorbs a little bit into the pot as well. So it's not that you can just simply say, oh, there's heter in the pot and there's no iser. There's, truth be told, there's heter and there's iser in the pot as well. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, we're going to continue in the Gemara, by the way, of the two approaches that we've just went over in the Gemara. The halacha adopts like the second approach, not like the first approach, understandably, meaning that the Gemara has two ways to understand Rabbi Chanina. The second way is more strict than the first way. The first way comes out to be tremendous leniency on issues, especially on Isura D'Oraisa, We're not going to be lenient. So the halacha is that you cannot be mishar against the pot itself, only the contents of the pot. And if you happen to know that there was absorbed taste in the pot, so then yes, you can also add to that the absorbed taste in the pot as well. When it comes to any issur in the Torah, so the ratio that you're going to use is the ratio of onion to cabbage? Leek. Okay. Right, cabbage, leek, same? Oh, no. Leek, right, you're right. Right, onion and onion and leek. Now, yes, yeah, I know. I see what you're saying. So butts of a kaplut. So the way your mishara is onion and leek. In other words, again, you look at the ratio, and it's like we discussed yesterday. You make substitutions, right? Whatever the iser was, whatever the heter was. If I were to substitute, and instead I put in onion and leeks, then I would then bite into the leek and taste the onion. So at that point in time, I would know that there was an infusion of taste from the iser into the heter. So I'm a
leek.
They're both okay. I'm with you. So Amale Rabbi Abba La Abaye Lo Sharina BePilpul and BeTavlin Deafilu BeElaf Lo BeTalin. So the Gemara says, look, if you're going to make any type of ratio whatsoever, so why not go with pepper? Why not go with spices? Meaning there are certain foods that are so strong and so powerful that the taste creates a sensation, even if it's mixed into 100, even if it's mixed into 1,000. You put a little bit of pepper into a big cholent pot, you'll taste it. You'll taste the pepper. So in other words, if you're really accounting for tastes, so why don't we account for a very strong taste? So I'm le shira chachamim di einos in tam bistur and yosem ibas of a kaplot. So the Gemara says, no, because the chachamim established that anything that's usher in the Torah, meaning what are the things that are usher in the Torah? Nevela, chelev, girhanasha, right? Whatever is usher in the Torah is not going to give off a stronger taste than onion and leek. Meaning the ratio of onion and leek is basically going to be the most intense type of flavor that's going to come off anything that's usher min haTorah. Now, Tosfos does point out that even in the world of peppers and spices, you could have something that is usher, right? Arla. But Tosfos says, okay, but that... leave that out of the whole discussion. Meaning, we're just talking right now about taste of nevela and chelev and dam and, you know, the your basic isurim of the Torah. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Nachman. Gid b'shishin ve'en gid min aminyan. Okay, here we go. Again, our magic number is 1 to 60. Ratio is 1 to 60. Again, even though we kind of get mixed messages from the Gemara in terms of what's the proper ratio. When I say mixed messages, what do I mean? Because previously the Gemara says, give it to a goy, let him taste it. Previously the Gemara says, use a ratio of leek to onion. Previously the Gemara said, back in the Mishnah, use a ratio of, what was the Mishnah's ratio? Of basar belefes, meat in... and cabbage, turnips, right? Meat and turnips. So, by the way, anytime I don't know what anything is, I just simply call it cabbage. You saw that's my go-to move. I think everything is cabbage. So the it's fine. So you do get a lot of mixed messages from the Gemara in terms of what the actual ratio is. But again, though, when I say 1 to 60, the Gemara says it. The Gemara says that's the Chachamim providing for us a baseline of, once you're at 1 to 60, you know with assurances, with absolute certainty, that there is no longer any taste. The taste has been negated. Most foods, and the Gemara just said, when it comes to Isurim, this is our general rule, most foods will not give off a taste if the ratio is 1 to 60. Okay? So, Amar Rav Nachman, Gid B'Shishim Ve'en Gid Min Aminyan. Now, when it comes to Gid, so B'Shishim, so in other words, I need a ratio of 60 to 1 in order to counteract it, and the Gid cannot be counted as one of the 60. It's pretty obvious, huh?
Not just a Gid.
Correct. Right. Kal B'Shishim U'Kal Min Aminyan. Now, What about Chal, now the udder? Oh, we're going to have a great time talking about the udder in the eighth perek of Chulin. Udder, that part of the animal where, we're going to learn later on, if you want to taste what a cheeseburger tastes like, so you could do, you could go about it one of a couple ways. Number one, you can go and, well, one way you could do it is actually tasting it, but yeah, that's also in a Torah. That's not right. Right, it's a sesame tshuva also. No, so, but one way you can do it is by getting soy, you know, a little soy cheese right on top. Not that thrilling. Another way to do it, however, the Gemara is going to say this. Another way to do it is eat the chal. Eat the udder of a cow, because the udder of the cow is saturated with milk, and on top of that, it's also meat. So if you want to taste what meat and milk taste like, so you're going to eat the udder. Now, we will learn in the eighth perek that in order to prepare an udder, there has to be a couple things that you need to do. You can't just simply cook the udder as it is. You do need to cut it. You do need to wring it out. If you're going to roast it, you don't need to salt it, but you need to cut it. You need to wring it out. But still, it's going to have a great taste because it's going to have a little milk and it's going to have a little bit of meat. And if you want to taste a cheeseburger, so you eat the udder. The Gemara says it. Gemara says it straight out. You ate the udder. It's not popular here in America. Not yet, at least.
It's utterly
awful. So the Gemara says that when it comes to the chal, you can actually count the chal towards 60. Right, because the chal itself is not gufo shel iser; it's not fundamentally prohibited. It absorbed milk, but it's not a fundamentally prohibited. So the chal could be counted as part of the shishim. And finally, beitzim b'shishim vein beitzim in a minyan. Now, if you have a mixture of eggs, we'll talk more about that. That'll be a good part of today's daf. So then, the egg is not counted as one of the 60. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar the Rav Misharsha. So the chal itself, however, does become prohibitive. So, and if the chal falls into another pot, it will actually prohibit. So when I'm mishar, meaning I throw a chal into the pot, a piece of udder into a pot. So how am I mishar? How do I evaluate? How do I estimate? Based on the totality of the udder, only the absorbed taste in the udder. Pshita dibididei misharinen. Diba manda nafak mine mana yadanan. So the Gemara says, look, it's by the totality of it, not by how much has been absorbed. Elamihata nafak dera cheres liyasu kevin da amar rav yitzchak b'reder mishasha chal atzmaaser shavir rabban kechaticha de nevela. So the Gemara says, no, because once we have established that the chal itself, once cooked with its milk, becomes usher, so at that point in time, the Chachamim treat the udder as a chefzo shel iser, as an item which is prohibited. Okay, we'll come back, we'll discuss more in the 8th parak, more about the udder, and it will give it a fuller treatment later on. Beitza b'shishim vein beitza min aminyan. Let's talk about eggs. Okay, interesting discussion now the Gemara will have about eggs. Eggs are being cooked together, right? In other words, Right before Yontif, we all hard-boiled our eggs. We needed to make Erev Tavshilin. So I'm proud to tell you that I remembered. Okay, and by the way, we'll have a lot of opportunities because we're going to make an Erev Tavshilin next week for Sukkot. We're going to make another Erev Tavshilin for Shmini Atzeres. We'll have ample opportunities to make Erev Tavshilin. So you cook a whole bunch of eggs together, and you make a discovery that one of the eggs that you cooked came from a non-kosher bird. Okay? Now, listen to this discussion of the Gemara. Fascinating discussion. So first of all, this whole discussion is a strange discussion because eggs have taste. Eggs have taste? Amre inshi kimaya. Listen to what people are saying. Oh my gosh, this food is tasteless. It's like eating eggs. Now I'm saying Kimaya de Beya Ba'alma. It's like that liquid that comes out of the egg. Right. It has no taste to it.
It
Okay. Meaning what the Gemara now is assuming in the beginning of this egg discussion is that if it's an unfertilized egg, right? Well, what you and I eat when we eat an egg. So it's an unfertilized egg, and not when it's hard-boiled. I guess when it's hard-boiled, maybe it does have more of a taste. But just to, you know, you drink a straight, you know, you drink straight eggs, you know, crack it, a raw egg, and the Chazanim do it. I've heard this, and you drink it straight. It doesn't have a taste. Now, you'll say to me, it has a little bit of a taste. So, but again, though, remember, in when we talk about Tom, there's a threshold, and the Gemara is assuming, right? People say, it's not a strong taste. It doesn't have real Tom. So, if that's true, essentially what the Gemara is bothered by is, so what's the issue? Meaning, even if I were to cook two eggs together, I'm giving the most dramatic example possible. One egg is kosher and the other egg is not kosher, and they're both not fertilized. So who cares? We're not talking about eating the actual non-kosher egg. That, of course, you can't do. We're talking about the taste that comes off of it. But if the taste that comes off of it is not taste, so then what's the issue? Take the kosher egg and enjoy it. But it was cooked with a non-kosher egg. So what? The only reason why it should be also is because of the taste that comes off the non-kosher egg. And the Gemara right now is advancing that there is no taste. Now, I'm sorry, that's already the beginning of a new discussion. We are talking about where it's not an unfertilized egg, it's a fertilized egg. We're talking about where the egg has a chick inside. Now, an egg with a chick inside. Now, at that point in time, that chick is prohibited, right? It's an undeveloped chicken. So you can't eat it. You can't eat it. The Gemara earlier called it a sheretz, right? It's not yet edible. And not only is it not edible, meaning I'm not talking about physically, I mean that halachically you're not allowed to eat it. That's what we're talking about. And that for sure has a taste, meaning you're now talking about, this is disgusting, but we're now talking about a chick inside of an egg. Okay, if you were to eat it, you can imagine that has taste. That's what we're talking about. Aval tamei lo eis v'the Gemara says, okay, but consider the following braisa. Beitzim taro sheshalken and beitzim tamei sim yesh b'menos in tam kolam masuras. The braisa says it's a tosefta, that if I cook eggs together, kosher and non-kosher eggs together, if there is a taste that goes from the non-kosher to the kosher, so then everything is no good. If there is no taste, meaning I have enough of a ratio of kosher eggs to non-kosher eggs, so we've negated the taste of the non-kosher eggs, so then you're fine. So the Gemara's answer is, ha-chanam ibebetzis afroach. Here, that tosefta is talking about not an unfertilized egg, but an egg with a chicken side. Ve'amai karelei tamei, kemendislei afroach karelei tamei. The fact that it has an afroach inside is why it's called a tamei. Meaning, it didn't come from a non-kosher species, it came from a kosher species. But a chick inside of an egg is usser. The Gemara says, but consider the next part of the braisa, which is beitzim sheshakum neim safroch ba'achas mehem im yesh behem enos intam kol ansuros. Next part of the braisa deals exactly with that scenario of an egg with a chicken side. So you know how this works. Meaning, I have two parts of the braisa. Is the second part of the braisa is talking about the egg with a chicken side? First part is not. So the Gemara's response, Perushi Kamifaresh. Second part of the Braisa is an explanation of the first part of the Braisa. Beitzim Tatar Shalkan and Beitzim Temesim Yesh Mehemenos in Tan Kulna Suros. Ketzai Kigosh Shalkan and Imsa Afroach Ba'achaz Mehem. That's how we're going to learn the Braisa. Second part of the Braisa is an explanation of the first part of the Braisa. Hachinami Mistabra, the Gemara says, in fact, it's logical. Why? Because if you think that the first part of the braisa is talking about an unfertilized egg, let me tell you, after you've learned the first part of the braisa, that an unfertilized non-kosher egg gives off taste, good. You could stop the discussion right there. If a non-fertilized non-kosher egg is going to give off taste, you don't think that an egg with a chicken side is going to give off taste? So then I wouldn't need the second part of the braisa. Imishum halo irya. The Gemara says that argument is not compelling argument. Tana sefer l'gluy reisha, because what I could say is that the second part of the braisa is coming to be a gilui, a revelation, a clarification of the first part of the braisa. Shelo tomar, because you might have said, reisha dius be'afroach avalais be'afroach sharya. I would have said, if all I had was just the reisha, that's talking about an egg with a chicken side. But if it was a non-fertilized egg, so it would be totally permissible. Tana Sefer Dis Be'afroch Machal Dereshit Lais Be'afroch Ve'afilo Hachi Asirit, meaning that the second part of the brisa could be telling us an egg with a chick inside has one, and the first part is telling us even if it doesn't have a chick inside, it would be asar. And I guess the style then would be, because I'm just adding to the Gemara's discussion over here, it's a little bit strange. The Gemara's first presenting, the Bryce is first presenting a huge chiddush, unfertilized eggs give off taste, and then the Bryce is presenting and not such a big chiddush, that even fertilized eggs that have a chick inside also gives off taste. And I guess the style of the Bryce then would be lomi bai kamar, meaning this, and it then certainly goes without saying the next one as well. Okay. Good. What have we learned? That when it comes to eggs, you need shishim,
and you don't count the egg.
And you don't count the egg. Okay. Well, I'll come back to that in just a moment. Hahu kezeisa tarba d'nafa b'dikula d'bistra. Half an olive volume of chalev fell into a pot. Okay. Classic tarovah situation. Half a kezias of chalev. Okay. Now, okay, we are now tarovis in training. So let me ask you such a simple question. How much do I need in order to negate the taste of that half a kezias of chalev? So the correct answer would be 60 times that amount. So 60 times a half?
30.
I would need 30 full olives of anything else in the pot in order to negate that half kezias of chalev. Good. Such professionals, huh?
Did you
do a kezias of
the first one?
No. How kezias the tarba?
Yeah.
Did I?
You went to the second case.
I went to the second case first. Right. Phil, thank you. How kezias the tarba d'nafa b'dikula d'bisra sava rav asi l'shure b'may d'bala d'ikula. So Rav Ashi said, let's measure not only everything that's in the pot, but the pot itself, meaning the absorbed taste in the pot. Amalei Rabban la Rav Ashi. So the Chacham said to Rav Ashi, you can't do that. Atu de tera bala di isura la bala? No, you can't do that, because it absorbed heter and it didn't absorb isur, meaning that when the chalev came into the pot, you only look at it now as a kezias. You know, when it fell into the pot, there was more than a kezias of chalev. It just happens to be that some of it spread out and are now absorbed in the walls of the pot. So no, you have to assume that the pot absorbed isur and heter. Similar to the point that Rashi made earlier this morning. Good. Now let's do this. Next case is going to be half a kezias of chalev. Okay. Savar mabar avash l'shuri betilsen pagei dezese. Now here Rav Ashi says, so good, you know what we're going to do? We're going to measure it against 30 halves of whatever else is in the pot. Now, right, we are, this doesn't take higher level math to figure this out. Marbar Rav Ashi is pulling a fast one on us. In the sense that if you say 1 to 60 is the ratio that you need, and you need to have a half a kezias went in, so I need 30 olive, right, the volume of 30 olives of whatever else is in the pot in order to negate the taste. And he is going with 30 halves. Oh, wow, that's a ratio of 1 to 30. That's no good. Now, what's the thought process?
It's a ratio of 1 to 60. Proportionally,
that's what we need, 1 to 60, but he's operating with a ratio of 1 to 30.
No, but the ratio is still 1 to 60. It's a chatzi, because I know.
That fell in, and how much was he looking to negate?
30 halves.
He was looking to negate 30 halves.
15 kezaisin.
Right.
So you have a half into a 15.
So he's looking to negate it using a ratio of 1 to 30, and we need 1 to 60.
Right.
Okay, think about it.
1 to 30.
So the Gemara, so let me give a little bit of an intro over here. What's the thought process? Meaning, 1 to 60 is the ratio we need, and now he's looking at 1 to 30. His thought process is like this. It's not a full kezais of chalev. And I say so what? And you say so what? So we know that in order to be liable on a Torah level, meaning in order to receive Malkus, in order to get Kares, you need to eat a shear. How much is a shear? A full kezias. Anything less than that is not a shear. Now we've learned in Yuma Right? This is the primary source of this discussion. That chatzi shear, that even if I have less than a full shear, I'm not allowed to eat it. Everyone agrees. Is that asam in the Torah, or is that only asam in the Rabbanan? Machlokis. Machlokis between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now it happens to be, as the Gemara is about to point out in just a moment, we passing like Rav Yochanan. That chatzi shear is asam in the Torah. That even if I eat less than a shear, it's still biblically prohibited. You'll ask me, so then what's the whole point of shear?
Right.
And the answer is corporal punishment. Malchus. Meaning even though if I eat a chatzi shear, the Torah prohibits that, I'm not going to get malchus until I eat a full shear. And kares, even for chatzi shear. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'll tell you the truth, I'm not 100% sure. Okay. Well, because it's a law, it's a negative prohibition. So if the malchus is going to come, and if the malchus comes, then does that give him a pass on the kares? I believe it does. I believe it does. A third parak of malchus has a discussion. So anyway, so the thought process behind Mar Bar Ravashi is, since it's chatzi shir, and since chatzi shir, at least according to Reish Lakish, is asim midrabanan, so you know what? Maybe we could play with the numbers a little bit. Meaning, instead of ratio of 1 to 60, so we'll use 1 to 30. So listen to the response of the Gemara.
Why doesn't he say 15? Why? I don't get it.
It's, you know, in other words, as the expression goes, it's half a dozen of one, six of another.
I know.
I'm saying it's the same.
Did he say 15 times that amount, or did he say 30 times that amount?
30 times that amount.
But that isn't that... The ratio is still 1 to 60.
I see that you're confused.
No. The ratio is not 1 to 60.
It's a half that fell in, and he's looking to be Mishari. He's looking to go against that 30 halves.
Yeah, he has a half against 15.
So he should have gone by 60 halves.
Correct. Correct. Okay, Pagadah Zay say, Amalei Avu, Lama Minalach Lo Tezazah B'Shurin D'Rabbanan. So his father says to him, I told you, son. Lo tezalzel b'shirin derabbanan. Don't do that. You're treating the ratios that the chachamim give us very lightly. 1 to 60 means 1 to 60. You can't start playing with the numbers. And on top of that, and again, your thought process is, well, it's not real. It's not a full shear. It's not really asam in a Torah. It's only asam in derabbanan. And so, therefore, I have rights to their wiggle. There's wiggle room. So point number one is, no, even in Issa de Rabbanan, there's no wiggle room. The ode. And furthermore, Amar Rav Yochanan, Chatzi Shir, Asam in a Torah. And on top of that, even your premise is wrong, because it's Chatzi Shir, and you think that Chatzi Shir is only Asar Mid de Rabbanan. That's not true. Chatzi Shir is Asam in a Torah. Amar Rav Shem Bar Abba, Amar Rav Idi Bar Gershon, Amar Levi Bar Parta, Amar Rav Nachum. Okay, that's a great way to get through Gemara, get through the Daf Yomi. Have an attribution like that. The Masorah, the link over there, right? The Gemara, it's what is it? It's like six Amorayim. Okay, Amru Beitza B'Shishim Asura B'Shishim Va'Achas Muteris. An egg in 60 is Asur. An egg. B'shishim va'achas is muteres. I'm Rabbi Zera L'Rav Shem Abba Reisha Atamato Bagvul Heter. Shari Shnei Gedolei Hador Lo Pirshu Asa Davar. I can point to two Gedolei Hador. Rabbi Yaakov Bar-Yidi Rabbi Shmuel Bar-Nachmini. Tarvayim Mishmei Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Amrei Beitza B'shishim Asura B'shishim va'achas muteres. Now, again, same basic story. 60 against the egg is prohibited. 61 is muter. V'ibayilahu. Now, I'm asking a simple question. In other words, by egg, we're saying 60 is Aser, 61 is Moter. Is those numbers including the egg or not including the egg? That's a funny question. I have to be honest with everyone here. That's a funny question. In other words, don't we have it now? We basically got it. The ratio is 60 to 1. So I would say to you, as you should say back to me, 61 is the total, and the ratio is 62-1. Okay. V'lo pashit umar pashit le'mifshet. And the Gemara says, then look, we didn't have clarity on this issue, and you for some reason have clarity on this issue. Itmar Amar Rabbi Chaba Amar Rav Huna Beitza B'shishim V'hi Asura B'shishim V'achaz V'hi Mutars. And listen to the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara's conclusion is, in the world of eggs, I need 61 to the non-kosher egg. Okay, and it begs the question. What?
Just eggs? This is an exception
yeah,
to the rule?
Yeah, this is going to be an exception to the rule. In the world of eggs, so I need not a ratio of 60 to 1, but 61 to 1. Okay, what happened? So it's interesting. The Rishonim on
the... counting the volume of the egg, counting the numbers of eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all volume.
So the Rishonim...
it's all volume.
It's not volume.
Eggs are volumes units.
Correct. So the Rishonim point out, it's not here on the daf. You're not going to see Rashi here discuss on the daf. But the Rishonim point out, and you learn Yoredeya, you'll see the reason why eggs become different is because eggs don't all have a uniform size.
Right.
So the problem is that if I have a non-kosher egg that gets cooked with 60 other eggs, so the problem is that if I just start counting eggs, I'm not going to have a volume ratio. I may not have, let's say carefully, I may not have a volume ratio of 60 to 1. I may have something less than that. As basically an assurance that you will have a total volume ratio of 60 to 1. So for eggs, and just for eggs, we're going to need add one more egg just to be sure that you have a ratio of 60 to 1. Okay. It sounds like a rabbinic precaution. Correct. Hahuda also a comment to Rami Gamliel. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Hahuda also a comment to Rami Gamliel. Baravabi amale abalo shir ba arba'im v'sheva v'ani eshaer ba arba'im v'chamesh. Now Rashi has two ways to read this. I will go with Rashi's second reading of this lines of Gemara. My father wouldn't use 47 as a number. 1 to 47. And you want me to use 1 to 45? Meaning, again, this idea of maybe let's tinker with the numbers. And no, we're not going to tinker with the numbers. 1 to 60 is the number. My father wouldn't use a ratio of 1 to 45. And you want me to use a ratio of 1 to 43? Again, same idea. So someone came in front of Rabbi Chia and said, how about 30? like we're bartering, like we're at an auction, right? How about 30? Anyone interested in 30? So time of the lake is shloshim, ha'ik is shloshim is sharinan. Now, again, from that discussion, it sounded like, well, if you got 30, then you're good. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, Guzma. Rabbi Chanina says, no, that's just an exaggeration. Meaning that apparently what happened is that the case that was presented to him, there wasn't even 30. And he said in exaggerated terms, well, you don't even have 30 here. Meaning, not that if you get to 30, right, you'll be okay, but like, we don't even have a discussion. I mean, how can we even talk about me being makel if you don't even have 30? But he only meant that in exaggerated terms. Meaning, even if he had 30, I still wouldn't be makel. I'm not going to be makel until you get up to 60. Okay. Good. Again, more Tarovis talk today. We talked about eggs, unfertilized eggs not giving off taste. Interesting discussion in the Gemara. It seems like that's the Gemara's conclusion, that an egg by itself doesn't give off any real taste. And so therefore, it's not going to prohibit it. We talked about being Mishair, when you make a ratio of eggs, you actually need a slightly larger ratio of 61 to 1. I gave an explanation of why that should be. And then you saw some Amorayim maybe try to finagle a little bit with the numbers, 45, 43, maybe even 30. But the Gemara says unequivocally at the end of the day, if you want to negate taste, you need a ratio of 60 to 1. Tomorrow, I mean, this is really the basics of Tarovis coming up. Tomorrow we'll discuss about the source of where we get this ratio from. Okay? Although I will tell you, though, it's really midrabanan, meaning the shear of 1 to 60 is really midrabanan. It's just an assurance that they get. But the Gemara says that we may learn that from Pesukim. Tomorrow, tam ki ikar, right? Taste being usher, as well as the food itself. That's on tap for tomorrow. And, okay, just a lot of very basic stuff in the world of Tarovis. Okay.